Cornucopia Radio presents.
Hello, and welcome to A Little Bit Racy, the improvisation comedy panel show that you just couldn't make up. I'm your host, James Cottle. Share if you agree. In the show, panelists race against a time limit of just 3 minutes to improvise their way to a destination. They begin from different starting points and use an assortment of randomly assigned objects, companions, and modes of transport, but they must keep all of them with them when they travel. They also have to overcome another panelist, who will improvise obstacles to try and stop them. Now, joining me on Bring Your Panelist to Work Day, please welcome Johnny Sire, David Ruddock, Joe Darcy, and Tom Harrison. So, let's move on to the challenge in round one. X-Factor overlord Simon Cowell is buying his 11th and most outrageous property yet, the Eiffel Tower. However, there's been a massive motorway jam on the roads of Paris, and his moving van has been held up. Oh, but that's got all his favourite things in it. His teeth whitener, his underpaid production runners, and his Louis Walsh. He begs you to go to Paris and fetch all his stuff for him. So, attempting the challenge first will be Johnny. Your object tonight is a participation trophy. Your companion is an incompetent tour guide. Your mode of transport is an Aston Martin Vanquish, nice. Crushed into a cube. And your starting point is pissing on a statue of Hugh Jackman in Melbourne, Australia. So, best of luck to you trying to get to Paris, and best of luck to you, Dave, throwing whatever obstacles you can in his way. Johnny, your time starts now.
Okay, so I am in Melbourne, Australia, pissing on a statue of Hugh Jackman. I tried to find Hugh Jackman, but I couldn't because, you know, he's usually in America, not his home place. But, yeah, I felt like he's made too many X-Men movies, so that was my justification for that.
I'd like to throw it out there very quickly at the start. I mean, you've got the participation, Trevor. You don't need to go all the way to Paris and do the thing.
Not true, because I want to better myself, and Simon Cowell is the man to do it. I'm sure of it. So I'm going to use my tour guide to try and get to the best direct route, but he's incompetent, so we go to New Zealand instead, which is in the opposite direction, because he thinks the hobbits live there. We will go find a hobbit, and I'm going to use my Aston Martin. Even though it's crushed into a cube, the wheels are still at the bottom. So it's a travelling
cube. Yes.
It's a perfect cube and an incompetent crusher.
The problem is, once you get to the ocean, because of its cube shape, it does start to dissolve in water like sugar cubes do.
It's a very good point, but my incompetent trophy was in kite flying. So rather than actually be able to get the kites in the sky, I accidentally make them into a raft, which takes us across to New Zealand. So we're in New Zealand, and we are still going across.
You bump into Hugh Jackman. Who's heard about your pissing exploits?
It's got CCTV footage.
It does hit now. Well, me and Hugh, you know, we go back a long way. He's out of a lot of incompetent trophies himself, so we actually bond over the process of getting to, you know, better ourselves. So he forgives me, and then I give him the fingers on the way past. He doesn't see that behind his head.
Until he hears his podcast.
Well, that's hopefully. So I've gone through New Zealand. My competent tour guide is still taking me along. We arrive in Argentina, which is...
Wait, there's a big body of water between those two. How does that happen?
On the raft that I made earlier.
Oh, lovely. Okay.
His kite raft, yes. Oh, you're not paying attention, James?
I am, but I'm struggling to understand.
I may be an incompetent kite flyer, but I'm accidentally a brilliant raft builder with the kites. So I come through, and I'm in Argentina.
1 minute left.
And I think, how the hell am I going to get to France from Argentina? I'm going to use my Aston Martin, because I turn it upside down, and the weight of it throws us down into the South Atlantic current.
Yeah.
I am going underneath.
But the people of Argentina are big fans of Aston Martins. They all want to stop and take a photo of your cube.
And I let them, because that takes 1 second, one snap, and I carry on.
There's hundreds of them. They're massive fans.
Yeah, but everyone takes the photo at the same time, so the time scale is exactly the same.
The flash blinds you.
I'm facing the other way.
Damn it, these are all so convenient.
Such is my life. So I'm going with my Austin Martin under the sea and my kites, which I've now turned the right way up so they can actually go underneath.
10 seconds left.
I am in the South Atlantic Current, in which I bump into a turtle and they guide me to the Mediterranean, and I think that's close enough.
Yeah, maybe. Johnny Sire. Maybe the turtle could be your tour guide from now on. Okay, now, David, you'll be tempting the challenge. Your object tonight is a book of carpet samples. Your companion is Jamie Oliver. Your mode of transport is a rubbish disposal truck. And your starting point is with your tongue stuck to the South Pole in the South Pole. So best of luck to you trying to get to Paris. Your time starts now.
Quick, easy gag. That's what comedy's about, loves. So I begin by getting the roughest carpet sample I have to help sand my tongue off of the South Pole.
Ow.
But luckily, Jamie Oliver's there to give me some creamy sauce or something to cool the tongue, make it feel better. And then we're quickly on our way. Jamie pops into the next to me in the rubbish spot. He can go in the back, actually. I don't like him that much.
I don't think Jamie Oliver would ever take a back seat in any situation.
Well, fine. You can sit up front and drive. I'll put my feet up. I'm just going to be enjoying my carpet samples. There's a nice velour one there. This one's made of satin. Ooh.
Satin carpet.
Before you know it, we're up the coast and we've suddenly realised we have a really heavy vehicle. We get on the edge where the ice is quite fragile and we chip away at the side and we make our own sort of ice float that starts to go into warmer waters and towards the tip of South Africa.
Very nice.
News has been getting around that there is a wonderful travelling truck that can get rid of all their rubbish for them, and now they're taking the business from you.
I didn't realise there was a massive rubbish problem in South Africa. This is news to me, and also annoying. I get Jamie Oliver to come up with a recipe for all the crap that they have gathered so they can recycle it into food. Because Jamie Oliver's all about green and reusable and that kind of stuff. So as we make our way up Africa, we are going to be going through the Congo, which is full of tasty treats, which Jamie Oliver is salivating over, and we get covered in saliva.
Why?
Because Jamie Oliver, he does that. He spits a lot.
Jamie Oliver decides he wants to film a cooking documentary while he's there, I'm afraid.
We do a travelling show, like the Hairy Bikers. So he decides to grow hair and get a bit fat, like the Hairy Bikers, because that's obviously what sells it for them.
And you're already there. Okay, I'll bow up.
Sound effect of door closing. He never comes back. So we make our way up through Africa. We are dishing out the food as we go. All these exotic locations. Jamie Oliver's loving it. He's not noticing that the disposal truck is slowly gathering all of the food that people have tasted of his. And then they go, it's not really that good, is it?
1 minute left.
Crap. So we are up in Chad, because who doesn't want to go to Chad? If a country's called Chad, you're going to visit it just so you can say, I'm in Chad.
I've heard they really like carpets and you are hounded in Chad for your sample.
Well, that is good, because I have a book of carpet samples and I wow them with another material, concrete. That's a lovely, what a lovely carpet. We also have other ones. We go to Morocco, where they have lots of silk there. And I say to them, would you mind if you add silk to my carpet samples? I'd like to show the world what I can do with these.
Jamie Oliver tries too many new spices and gets really ill.
Oh, well, luckily there's a perfect place for him to throw up in, the rubbish disposal truck. So he's just vomiting in there, blah, 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 as we go. And we make our way into Spain from Morocco, going up towards France. We hit the Andes and then we start climbing uphill. It's a slow trip because it is a garbage disposal truck full of vomit. But again, Jamie Oliver's very clever with those recipes.
10 seconds left.
He decides to make up a recipe that gives us a bit of energy as we make our way finally through France to Paris.
Hey, yes. Sorry about the dig earlier, dude.
You're dead to me.
Excellent stuff from our first pair there in round one. Now it's time for our second pair to attempt the challenge. And going first will be Joe. Your object tonight is all of last week's undelivered letters. Your companion is three blind mice. Your mode of transport is a coach that can't exceed 50 miles per hour or it will explode. And your starting point is failing to control a swarm of toddlers in a nursery in Quito, Ecuador. So, best of luck to you. Try to get to Paris. Your time starts now.
Ay, pero que te dije, no me mordes, ¿vale? Que está, me está fastidiando, ¿me entiendes?
So that's how I speak to the kids. And they're getting on my nerves. So I think it's time to go. We've got a coach there. Yep. Let's get aboard it. Now, it's a good job it's a coach because all of last week's undelivered mail is some number. But I'm going to make it worth it.
Considerable.
It's fine. Luckily, I've got three blind mice. Now, you might think useless. You haven't even got tails. Got cut off, didn't they? Do you remember the story?
Yeah, I remember that part, yeah.
Anyway, they've got sticks, aren't they, because they're blind? And that's perfect as envelope openers. I set them right to it. They're in the back, I'm driving. It's a bit difficult for me to not to exceed 50 miles an hour because that's usually my minimum in any situation.
The blind mice have mistaken the open letters for mouse food, whatever they eat, I don't entirely know. But they're eating it and shredding it, and it's at risk of flying out the bus windows because you have the windows open because it's really hot because you're in the South Americas.
I mean, so they're losing load off the coach. I mean, that's going to save on petrol, and I can only thank you.
Yeah, you got to keep it with you, don't you?
You do have to keep them with
you. I'm cheating, is what I'm saying.
Okay, sure. I drive around the block at 50 miles. No, I can go slower. I can go slower. That's easy. It never occurs to me, though. So I'm driving very slowly whilst the mice go out and I tell them off and they get pick up all the little bits. And whilst they're there, do you know what happened? They found some actual food and they were happy for the rest of the journey. Oh, it was lovely. Thanks. So they get on the coach again because it's going so slowly because of the bloody limit. But this is a problem in South America because I'm driving across from Quito and Ecuador through Venezuela, go to Colombia. We're all coked off our tits, mate. 50 miles an hour.
The mice now coked off their tits, if mice have tits, which I guess they do as they're warm-blooded. I don't know.
Does it count as a mastectomy if it's done by a butcher with his carver's knife?
That's part of the song not. As well, isn't it?
Fairly sure.
Updated version. Move on.
Scarface edition. But they've gone completely crazy and gotten into the mechanism of the bomb, which has now lowered it to 5 miles per hour. Because bombs in popular culture can just do whatever.
1 minute left.
The mice are as vexed at me at your interjections. And but we make our way. Thing is, now we're coked off our tits, the coach can't go 5. It's all right. We've got this. We're lifting the bastard up and we're going. We're going at 48, best we can do. We get to Venezuela and we arranged aboard a cargo vessel which is heading to Spain, its natural linguistic trade partners. we've managed. The wives have still got enough letters left. All the guys, you know, they're travelling, they go, these freight haulers and everything, they haven't got the mail. Luckily, we're able to give it away to the right owners. Oh, except we have to seal it back later. Obs. Yeah. Shh, don't tell them. that means that they're distracted so we can get the coach on and that can just drive around at 5 miles an hour now. Thank you
As
very
you're
much.
Crossing the border, they realise that the mice could unbalance the ecosystem because apparently this is Australian ecosystem rules have now applied in South America for cocaine related reasons. I don't know. Why I'm really got it in for the mice.
The mice have dealt with worse than this. So they basically butcher anybody who comes to them because
Fair
they're
enough.
Still around
10 seconds left.
And eventually we make it to Spain and that's as far as I can get, mate.
All right, well, JoJo. Yeah, you're really hampered by that mile an hour.
Yeah,
limit,
mice, who knew?
Okay,
little blighters.
Fantastic stuff. Now attempting the challenge will be Tom. Your object tonight is a washing basket full of used sumo wrestling gear. Your companion is an annoying YouTube vlogger. Your mode of transport is a sentient treadmill that has ran away from home. And your starting point is lathering up in the Bay of Bengal, India. So, best of luck to you, Tom. Tried to get to Paris. Your time starts now.
Okay, well, you know, I have a good lather, as, as you do. Then I figure, oh, it's probably time to go. The YouTube vlogger is filming it, and he's going to make a video called, like, Wow, Great Lather 2017, Gone Sexual. Something along those lines. And so I get on the treadmill, which is obviously, as you say, sentient and has run away from home, so I can kind of reason with it. And its home is in India, so it wants to be as far away as possible, although not so far away that it could be used to teleport me to the other side of the world, because I'm really bad at recovering from those sort of problems. And so me and the treadmill go hand in hand, hand in handle, and cross over the border into Pakistan. I've got the YouTube vlogger with me. He's now filming Border Crossings Gone Wild 2017 300 tags.
What he's also discovered is that you've got carrying around this sumo wrestling equipment, and he's thinking, 1 second a day video, that's smashing on YouTube. Make sure in every country we go through, you have to don the sumo wrestling outfit and do a dance.
I mean, I'll do it. I'm not going to enjoy it, but I'll do it. If that's what it takes. And so, yeah, we go to the Taj Mahal and we film a weird sumo wrestling skit. And not the Taj Mahal, because I'm in Pakistan. Sorry. I go to Karachi and I film a sumo wrestling skit, and it's bad, but you know, that's what the kids like on YouTube. He's got those 8 million subscribers for a reason, I guess.
Unfortunately, that is very disrespectful to the culture there, and you're
I'd say it's more disrespectful to Japan.
You could say it, but you didn't say it, so now you're in jail.
Okay. I fashion myself a sling out of sumo wrestling gear, and as they're, I don't want to say taking me to the gallows, because that says bad things about, like, other countries' justice systems, but they're taking me out for exercise in the exercise yard. There we go. And I fling myself over the wall with YouTubemen, and we run for freedom. On the way, I grab my treadmill, which is staring wistfully into a mirror, wondering if it's made the right decision. And,
1 minute left.
And we sprint somehow into Turkey, and where we realise that I need to be going farther, so I go further into Hungary.
But before you get there, you get into Turkey, home of the Turkish bath, and you stink, mate. You've been wearing that sumo wrestling stuff.
Well, I have a nice Turkish bath. Peps me right up. Maybe I even wash the sumo wrestling gear. I don't know. You know. I don't get the YouTube vlogger guy, though. He can be sweaty. I hate him. Yeah, we keep going. We cross into Hungary, where we get some stew. I've been to Hungary, but I still can't think of anything to say. Not that it's bad. Anyway, I'm losing time. Cross over into Austria, and then into France, and then to Paris, where I go, "Oi, Simon, here's your stuff." Or yeah.
Hey! Lovely stuff from both pairs there in round one. But now it's time to find out who is moving on to round two, and those two people are David and Tom. We now move swiftly on to round two. In this round, the winning panelists must improvise their way to a whole new destination. They may use their object, companion, and mode of transport again, but this time they are allowed to dispose of them if they wish. However, the defeated panelists will try and stop them once again, this time using their own object, companion, and mode of transport to improvise obstacles. In order to prevent them from becoming the a little bit racy, prolific pop show personality paraphernalia purloiner. Perfect! So let's see what the challenge is in round two. You enter the back of the van and the doors slam shut. You find yourself facing a suited man behind a desk who immediately demands a song and a sob story. Aghast, you realise that Cowell has tricked you into the early rounds of auditions for The X Factor. Furious, you become determined to confront him. These early auditions are totally beneath you anyway. So you head to the main live auditions in Anchorage, Alaska. Desperate to take to the stage, wow the audience and get some answers. So, attempting the challenge first will be Dave, who, just to remind everyone, has with him his book of carpet samples, Jamie Oliver and his rubbish disposal truck. But now Johnny will be trying to stop him using his participation trophy, his incompetent tour guide and his Aston Martin Vanquish crushed into a cube. Best of luck to you trying to get to Anchorage. Dave, your time starts now.
I am going to take it easy because I do like Paris. I'm going to have a croissant and some coffee, and then I'm going to make
coffee.
My way. I don't pick it up on that thing. Jamie Oliver takes me to all the best spots, and then we're really pepped to go. We hop into our glammed up disposal truck, and we make our way westwards towards the coast of France. On the way, picking up other unusual food items.
You pick up my incompetent tour guide, who is going to take you the rest of the way.
This is a tricky one. I show the incompetent tour guide my book of carpet samples, and he is mesmerised because I have the hypnotic carpet, which is also in there. It's a plethora of carpet samples in here. Ironically, this makes him a very competent tour guide. It flips everything on his head, and I say, which way to Anchorage? And he points, which doesn't really help because there's still an ocean in the way. We get to the coast and we steal a boat because I've never stolen anything before. I'm a very nice soul.
Yeah, but now you're going to be a bad boy.
Yeah. Vive le bad boys. I steal the boat. I punch the captain off the boat and we make our way towards the east coast of Canada. And I don't know why I'm saying it like that.
You're bringing your disposal truck onto this boat.
Yeah, it's a big boat.
Okay.
So we make our way across the ocean. Jamie Oliver catches a fish and he eats it.
What a lovely detail.
I hand Jamie Oliver my participation trophy for catching this fish and he leaves with me.
Whatever you two want to get up to in your own time is entirely your own fruition. I leave Jamie Oliver up to you. I mean, I said I don't like the guy. You can keep him. I don't care. I've got a book of carpet samples and you're now competent tour guide. So, you know, it's a fair swap as far as I'm concerned. The tour guide is pointing at whales as we go because he likes to do that thing. We get to the east coast of Canada, passing over that little stupid thing I said before. We come aboard at Quebec, which is the French Quarter. Is that correct?
The what?
Not the French Quarter, the French area of Canada. Oh, shush. Look, I just...
1 minute left.
I just do the funny bits sometimes. I don't do the bloody geography. So we're making our way across Canada. Everyone's very nice. Our tour guide is again, pointing out interesting things. He points out an Aston Martin-shaped cube, and we all laugh.
Yeah, but the tour guide has become incompetent due to the sea air. It's switching back to his natural state. And you swap your bus for my crushed Austin Martin.
Why would I agree to that?
It's well, the swapsies round. It's a little bit racy.
He agreed to it on your behalf. You put too much trust in him, I'm afraid.
I have given power of attorney. Luckily, I still got the garbage disposal truck and I put the cube into the back because that's a valid thing to do with crap. And we keep on driving. Meanwhile, the carpet samples is gathering new stuff. We get moose skin, and we also get maple, which is sticky but delicious, which is exactly what you want
left
for the flooring of a kitchen. And we make our way to Alaska and towards the stage where we sing a rousing number and we win the day.
Hey, David Rudder! What a show! Fantastic stuff from our first pair there in round two. But now attempting the challenge will be Tom, who, just to remind everyone, has with him a washing basket full of sumo wrestling gear, an annoying YouTube vlogger, and a sentient treadmill that has run away from home. But now Jo will be trying to stop him using her last week's undelivered letters, her three blind mice, and a coach that can now not exceed 5 miles per hour or it will explode. Best of luck to you, Tom. Your time starts now.
Okay, so I cross over from France into Spain, annoying YouTube vlogger and everything else with me. Thankfully, this annoying YouTube vlogger person has a private yacht in Spain because he's a millionaire for reasons that a lot of people don't understand, myself included. And so we load that all up, and sentient treadmill with me, who's now got a new lease of life. He's looking to have adventures in the new world and stuff. We set off and we arrive in Nova Scotia, where...
Okay. Ta-da. No, that's not what happened at all, mate.
Oh, okay.
Because that yacht couldn't go very fast because you're right, he's a very wealthy man and it was big enough, this yacht, to fit on a coach.
Okay.
That's about that. So that's held you up a little bit, and I'm very happy with my progress. This sentient treadmill has looked at these blind mice and started to think, hang on, I feel like I'm a victim, like they're a victim. You know, man didn't want them to be free, cut off the tails. Man doesn't want me to be free, wants me to like facilitate their running, but I'm not allowed to go anywhere. There seems a little bit of simpatico going on, and all of a sudden, this treadmill don't really want to do much for you anymore, mate.
Well, it's an inanimate object ultimately, so it's going to have to deal with it.
And he heard...
I heard
you say it.
I get the YouTube celebrity to distract him with stupid screaming noises, and it works and makes him several million more pounds. I arrive, in Nova Scotia, excited to meet the infamous Trailer Park Boys, get my sentient treadmill, which now admittedly loathes me on every level, drag it along. YouTube guy, I've promised him that we're going to go around like Toronto and Vancouver and all of the kind of touristy places in Canada where he can make great videos. I'm lying. We go to Alberta, which is Canada, which in many ways is Canada's Alabama.
He is livid about this because the sentient treadmill has been saying to the guy, this guy's not everything he's talking about, you know, you want to watch out your filming. And you told him that he'd be able to go to these cool places where he could finally get Wi-Fi and upload these videos. And now we're not here, and he can't get diddly squat.
1 minute left.
I've annoyed a lot of people. I wrap sumo gear around him and garrot him into unconsciousness, carry him over my shoulder as we cross over into like the northern Canadian region, where I jog on the treadmill to keep warm even though it's constantly insulting me. And from there we get closer to the border of Alaska, but I don't want to end the round yet.
So what happens is this coach that's now getting 5 miles an hour, pretty comparable speeds between the treadmill and the coach. All of a sudden, he's learned a lot through the blind mice and he's not going to be a victim anymore. And he sees, maybe this coach is the guy for me. We could be together. And they don't want to go anymore.
10 seconds left.
Okay, well, as they go off together, they're so overjoyed that the coach accelerates to 50 miles per hour and everyone explodes.
The end to mercy. Yay. Gone out in a blaze of glory. Excellent stuff from both pairs there in round two. But now it's time to find out the conclusion of this tale and who has won this a little bit racy. Cowl is so moved by your performance, as are the other judges, whoever they are, that he admits elaborate traps are the only way he can get people to audition for the show anymore. It wasn't even the real Eiffel Tower. He had it flown in from Blackpool. Saddest of all, perhaps, the entire audience is now computer-generated too. He flicks a switch and the arena is suddenly empty, but for one short-circuiting Durbot O'Leary. He asks for your terms to keep his secret safe from the outside world. And so it is you, our winner of both A Little Bit Racy and The X Factor, David Ruddock! Hey! He didn't explode!
I owe it all to the world of carpets.
Well, that's all we got time for on this show. I'd like to thank tonight's panellists, Johnny Sire, David Ruddock, Joe Darcy, and Tom Harrison. I've been your host, James Cottle, and today's episode was recorded in our panic room. Tom's gotten into the Red Bull and firearms cabinet again. Why do we keep these things together? See you next time! Enjoyed A Little Bit Racy and would like to find out more? Follow us on Twitter at A Little Bit Racy and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/A Little Bit Racy.
Thank you.